Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What happens when royalty retires? Find out today on Advanced. Hi everyone, this is Naomi welcoming you to day three of Newsworthy Clips for this month of July. We're glad that you've stuck with us for a couple of very interesting articles having to do with society, your brain on blinking, television, all kinds of really fascinating stuff having to do with health and good habits and family. Well, today we are talking about something quite different. It's a bit of a switch, and we're featuring my country of my heritage, Holland. And joining me for this program, first of all, we have Bill.
Great to be here, Naomi. Always enjoy Newsworthy Clips. Three very different articles here this month.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we're ending up in the Netherlands. Holland. I always thought that was interesting that your country of ethnic origin has two names. What's up with that? Come on.
Pick one already.
Come on, huh?
Josh, do you know the answer to this?
I don't. No, I've never been to Holland, but I like those cute shoes they wear.
Yes.
And the people are called Dutch.
Right.
There's a third name. So we got, why aren't they called Hollandese or
Netherlanders?
Okay. So actually, the Netherlands is made up of two big provinces or two big sections. And one is called Friesland and one is called Holland. And so Holland is actually not equivalent to the Netherlands.
Mm.
It's a part of the Netherlands. However, in Chinese, the name for the Netherlands is Holland. So it's a little bit misleading, actually.
All right. Now, what's up with Dutch?
Where does
Dutch come from?
I don't know.
They made an oven. They named an oven after it.
I'm pretty sure that English speakers got confused about German people and Dutch people. Mm. Because German in English is Deutsch.
Deutsch.
Yeah.
Dutch. Yeah.
But actually, Dutch in Dutch is Nederlands. So...
Wow.
If you're not confused already, friends, that's good. Thank you for staying with us this long.
I'm sure our listeners are in a good mood because last night they spent all night watching Three Stooges videos on YouTube after Bill explained to them about that show.
They're probably still laughing.
About?
Or maybe some Mr. Bean from the day before.
Right.
All right. Well, today we are talking about the Dutch royal family. Now, not too many countries in the world still have monarchies, actually.
No. A monarchy meaning they have a king or a queen, a royal family that sometimes, as in the case of the British, they are in place, but they don't govern the country. They're not simply figureheads because they do have a lot of influence and power and certainly a lot of money. But in Holland, it sounds like they have more power than they do in England.
Mm. And this is a little bit of a complicated topic to learn about different countries' systems of government, and not something that I'm very good at. I like to read about it, but I'm not usually very good at understanding it very clearly. But each country with a monarchy, just as countries without them, have different systems of government. That's true with monarchies as well.
Yeah, a pure monarchy would be a country that is ruled by a king. And then you've got different forms of government. I believe the Netherlands is actually a constitutional monarchy. And there's some power written into the Constitution.
They have a prime minister as well.
Yeah.
And that person is voted in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, again, you can research this a little more. But where is the news in this clip?
Well, it's about the queen stepping down and handing power to her oldest son.
Okay. We have a special word for that.
Abdicate. Sorry, I didn't want to use that too early, but it is a fancy word meaning to relinquish your position of power.
Right. And in this case, it's basically just the same as saying the queen is retiring. Now, this doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't always happen. Usually, often with royalty, there is only a passing of the torch upon death. With many royal families, the king or the queen dies, and then the son or the daughter moves into the next position. So it doesn't always happen. But in this case, Queen Beatrix has decided, I'm going to step down, going to enjoy the rest of my life, and hand over this responsibility to this guy I raised.
Exactly. And so let's find out all about him and Queen Beatrix in the first reading of our article on page 36.
Dutch Queen Beatrix abdicates, eldest son to succeed. Queen Beatrix, who ruled the Netherlands for nearly 33 years, said, January 28th, she was abdicating to make way for her eldest son, Willem Alexander. Her last day as head of state was April 30, when 45-year-old Willem Alexander was crowned Willem IV, the first time the Netherlands has had a male monarch in more than 120 years. It was time to place the responsibility of the country in the hands of a new generation, Beatrix said in a television address. Willem Alexander is married to Argentine-born Maxima Zorrilleta Cerruti and has three daughters, Amalia, 9, Alexia, 7, and Ariane, 5. Nevertheless, Beatrix has remained active in her role as head of state, having made visits to Singapore and Brunei.
So the Dutch queen is abdicating or stepping down from her role as the leader of the Netherlands, and her eldest son will succeed her. Now that word succeed, it's an interesting usage in this particular case, isn't it, Josh?
Yes, it means not to be successful or to have success in something. It actually means to take the place of someone in power, to be next in line. And it doesn't have to just mean in royalty. You could succeed someone as the president of a company or the leader of a group or the lead teacher on Studio Classroom Advanced.
Is that what you're hoping to do?
Oh, one day. One day.
Okay, I look forward to it. So we get into our reading.
And we see here Queen Beatrix, who ruled the Netherlands for nearly 33 years, said on January 28th that she was abdicating to make way for her eldest son, Willem Alexander.
That's right. And we have pictures of both of them right there. You can also visit the Dutch royal website if you're curious to see more pictures of who all these people are. So you can look that up online. But 33 years, that's quite a long time to have a very high-pressure job.
That is a long time. That is really a long time. And it's interesting that, you know, she is giving this up. And I like the fact that she is actually giving it up because she's looking beyond herself and she's actually looking at what is best for the people in this country, what is best for the citizens in this country, not just me remaining as queen, but let's pass the torch on to somebody who can really handle everything.
Mm-hmm. And this is not exactly a precedent necessarily. I mean, this certainly does happen sometimes, but it's pretty unusual for a monarch to abdicate, actually.
That's right. In England, they've been waiting for Queen Elizabeth II to abdicate at some point, but she just continues to rule on and into her late 80s now. She has been on the throne for almost 60 years.
Well, and that's following tradition. I mean, this is how things have gone traditionally. This is the norm when it comes to royalty.
Yeah, it is the norm. And it's amazing how long kings and queens will stay on. You know, I'm thinking of another example of abdicating or abdication. And this, I don't know if it's royalty or not, but in the Catholic Church, Pope Benedict actually abdicated his position as pope back in February, which was the first time a pope had done that in 750 years. That's how rare abdication is.
Right. And that's true not just for the church. That's true with royalty as well. It's very, very unusual. And you could, if you go back through history, you could make an argument that people didn't used to abdicate because they would just kill each other off.
Right. And people didn't live as long, too, in previous generations. So I think we're going to see more of this in companies, in organizations, where the leadership maybe, you don't want to say outstays their welcome, but might be really out of touch with their younger constituents because they are in control or reigning up into their 80s and 90s.
Right. And so this didn't used to be something that happened quite so often. You didn't have monarchs who had been ruling for 33 years because either they would be, you know, old enough that they wouldn't survive that long, or someone would get to them first.
Right.
But in today's world, it's a much happier place. It's a much healthier place. And so she's gotten to retirement age successfully, and she has decided it is time. Now, this article was originally published before the fact, but we've adjusted it a little. This should have happened by now, her last day as head of state.
Right. We see the last day was April 30th. As the head of state, just another name for being the queen, the head of the royal family. And on April 30th then, 45-year-old Willem Alexander was crowned Willem IV.
Okay, so that's her son, her eldest, and he has taken over the position. And there's something very special about this.
Yes, it's the first time that the Netherlands or Holland or the place that the Dutch live, has had a male monarch in more than 120 years.
Okay, so monarch again?
Is the king, right. Someone who's in charge of the royal family, and this or can be a queen too, obviously, but it's the first time it's been a king at the helm in over a century.
Right, and I know this history because I grew up in a Dutch family and there were four queens in a row, and everyone has to learn about the four queens. And so the first one was Emma, and she was actually the queen regent. She didn't inherit the monarchy, she was married in. And so when her husband died, her daughter wasn't old enough yet to take the throne. So she reigned for a little while until her daughter Wilhelmina became queen. And Wilhelmina is very famous because they named some peppermints after her in Holland. So if you ever go, you need to try those. Next was Juliana, and Juliana's daughter was Beatrix. So these four queens ruled for 120 years, and now it's all come to an end.
Were there no sons anywhere along the way?
I mean, maybe second in line, but...
Okay, but it was always just like the daughter might have been the oldest and then maybe a son.
I believe
it's really surprising.
So.
Yeah. It's all by chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, just, you know, it comes as far as who's next in line. So that's how we have Queen Elizabeth in England.
Exactly. So why did Queen Beatrix make this decision?
Well, she says in line 15, it was time to place the responsibility of the country in the hands of a new generation.
It seems very forward-thinking of her.
Well, it does seem very forward-thinking. And in 33 years, she's had her time, you know, and I really like the way she has approached this. She said, okay, it's time. I've had my fun. Let's give this guy. He's 45 years old. He's well-educated. He's certainly capable. Let him. And this is a challenging time for the Netherlands. So they need a contemporary leader.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah. So we see here also then he is married to a woman who was born in South America.
Yes. And Maxima is the sweetheart of the Netherlands. Everyone loves her. She is very, very popular, beautiful lady, and they have a beautiful family.
Yes. We see their kids there at the bottom of page 36. The youngest is Ariane, and in above her is Alexia and Amalia.
So it sounds like we have more queens in store for the Netherlands in the future.
Right. Though I don't think that's a five-year-old that Maxima is holding on her lap there.
That's true. The picture's a little bit old, I guess. Again, you can find more photos of the family if you want to online. But yeah, beautiful, healthy family. They're all doing very well. And people like them a lot, you know. Of course... it's probably worth mentioning that most countries that have monarchies have some people who are usually a little bit against the idea of keeping the monarchy around.
Yeah, one of the issues is cost, mm-hmm. because some people in the countries, they say, hey, we're paying taxes, and there's a certain expense that goes towards keeping up residences for them, traveling expenses, things like
security.
That.
Security.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and especially, as we see here, nevertheless, Beatrix has remained active even just before her retirement, and she had made visits around the world, and so she was still continuing on in her work. But why did this become an issue? Did the people of the Netherlands see this coming at all? Let's find out in the rest of our reading for today.
Speculation about Beatrix's future on the throne grew after Prince Friso, her second child, was left in a coma after a skiing accident nearly a year ago. He remains unresponsive in a London hospital. Beatrix remains popular among a vast majority of citizens, according to recent polls, which also suggests that most Dutch believe Willem Alexander to be well prepared for his new role. Beatrix assumed the throne on April 30, 1980, after her mother, Juliana, abdicated. Even though it is not Beatrix's birthday, April 30 has been celebrated as Queen's Day because the weather is more suitable for a festival than her actual birthday, January 31. The holiday will change to Willem Alexander's birthday, April 27, starting in 2014, and become King's Day. In addition to Princes Willem Alexander and Friso, she has a 43-year-old son, Constantine. Beatrix's husband, Prince Klaus, died in 2002. As a student, Willem Alexander's main emphasis was water management, a fitting subject in a low-lying coastal kingdom that for centuries has had to defend itself against the North Sea, accentuated in an era of climate change.
So we've been talking about the new king of the Netherlands, Willem Alexander, and his beautiful family. Everyone looks happy and healthy. However, this family, this extended family, has seen its share of tragedy, hasn't it, Bill?
Yeah, we see here speculation about the future here has really, you know, been up in the air because of something that happened to the son of Queen Beatrix, Prince Friso. And he was in line, I believe, or actually he was somebody in the line as far as the next person. But there are a couple things got in the way.
Well, Willem Alexander has always been the heir, but the second son, Prince Friso, actually wasn't really eligible for the throne anyway. He did not marry an approved wife. There was some issues there.
And scandal.
Scandal in the royal family. They have rules, you know, about who can be next in line for the throne. And so when he married the wrong person, his eligibility to become the king was eliminated.
Yeah, so he was not available for that and not eligible. But then he had this skiing accident. It was just terrible. It was in an avalanche in Austria. And he was actually buried under snow for 40 or 50 minutes.
Yeah, and so he's actually still in a coma. He remains unresponsive, which means that he can't interact with people. He's not really living a full life. He's in a hospital. He can't talk or anything.
So I imagine the press was concerned about would this be a distraction for the queen? And would this take so much of her time caring for her invalid son that perhaps she might consider stepping down?
Right. And of course, any kind of personal tragedy does affect our work. I think it's kind of naive. It's a little bit silly to think that it wouldn't. If you go through something serious at home, of course it will make a difference in your work. And so I think it's fair that people are thinking, hey, she must be worried about her son. This is a hard time for them. What will she do? And so people were wondering, well, will the queen continue? But do they like her? Would they have been happy if she had continued on?
Sure, it sounds like it, because we see in line four, Beatrix remains popular among a vast majority of citizens there. So they seem to love her.
Right, yeah. According to recent polls. So they will, of course, politically, it's important to keep your finger on the pulse of the people. You want to know what people are thinking, what they like, what they don't like. And so, of course, they're checking in. Do people still like having a queen? Do they think she's a good person? Are they happy that she's in charge?
Yes, it sounds like they are. And it also says that the polls suggest, which means that some questioning of the people also led you to believe that Dutch also feel that Willem Alexander is prepared for his role as king.
Right. So most people think that Willem Alexander will do a good job, too. Now we get into a little bit of history here.
Right. We find out, you know, we had mentioned Beatrix has been there for 33 years, and she assumed or she took the throne. She became queen on April 30th, 1980, after her mother, Juliana, also abdicated.
Aha! So we see that in the Netherlands, this is not so unusual. Her mother also said, you know, okay, I'm done being queen now. Let's move along to the next person. I think it says something about Dutch character. In my experience, most Dutch people tend to be extremely practical. They try to do whatever makes the most sense for everyone involved. And so it's kind of interesting. They just say, well, if you're done, you're done. It's time to move on. Everyone's happy.
And it says that even though that date that she assumed the throne wasn't her birthday, it was the most suitable day. Talking about pragmatism there, that it was the most suitable day to have what I guess is a holiday for the Dutch people on Queen's Day?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Everyone has a holiday. There's parades and so on. In some of the more traditional parts of Holland, people will wear their traditional costumes, dress up in their wooden shoes and their lace caps, and they have a big party to celebrate Queen's Day. And so I think, again, this is very practical. The Queen's Day is supposed to be on the birthday of the Queen, but Beatrix said, oh, no, that's not necessary. Why not?
Well, it's not necessary because, look, it's too cold on my birthday. So her birthday is January 31st. Let's move this holiday to a more suitable, a better day.
I think it's a very considerate idea. First of all, it seems like a very respectful thing to do for her mother.
Yeah.
To say, I'm going to keep this date that belonged to you.
Yep. I think that's great. And also, as you know, Naomi, that day, January 31st, in Holland, is going to be very cold. It's right there on the North Sea, windy, cold, rainy, snowy. It's not going to be much of a holiday for the people.
Right. And it's also close to the Christmas and New Year holidays. Mm-hmm. And so this spaces out some of the vacation days for everyone a little more. But the holiday will change.
That's right. It says the holiday will change now to Willem Alexander's birthday, which thankfully for everyone is in the spring, April 27th. And that will start next year, 2014.
And become called what? Queen's Day still?
Going to be called King's Day. Hey, that's only a 3-day shift.
Yep.
Well, that's convenient.
It's convenient, and I think it's appropriate because if he kept the same day, people would still call it Queen's Day.
Right.
But by changing it a little bit, he can make it his own, but still give people that spring holiday.
Well, that's going to be quite a twist. 120 years they have not had King's Day.
Yeah.
I bet you people will still call it Queen's Day, right? Human nature, you forget.
Yeah, that's true. But again, very practical or pragmatic, as Josh was saying. You know, you just try to do what makes the most sense for everyone, try to make everyone a little bit happy. And okay, so that works. Now, who else is involved in this family?
Well, we see here, in addition to Princes Willem Alexander and Friso, whom we've been talking about, Beatrix also has another son who's just 2 years younger than Willem Alexander.
Yeah, that's Constantine, and we also learned that Beatrix's husband, Prince Klaus, actually passed away in 2002. So a big family, and then we find out a little more about Willem Alexander.
That's right. In our final paragraph, we learn about him as a student. It says his main emphasis, which means the focus of his studies, were water management. And that's an interesting curriculum, I imagine. It's about irrigation and about floods and how a country or a region can deal with its water supply.
Now, in most cases, I would hear that and think that sounds like a farmer, not a king. But in this particular case, it might be quite appropriate.
Well, it is a fitting or appropriate subject in a low-lying coastal kingdom, because the Netherlands, much of it is below sea level.
Right. Actually, the word Netherlands means low lands, mm-hmm. You know. It is low-lying. Most of the land there is, as you said, first of all, on the water, but mm-hmm. also below sea level.
Yeah. And so because of that, for centuries, for hundreds of years, the Netherlands has had to defend itself against the North Sea. So.
Not against their enemies.
Right.
Not against other countries.
No,
but against the
fierce
sea.
Waters bringing flooding, I imagine, to the areas during storms and droughts and all sorts of issues to deal with. And that's now even made more important, or the word that's highlighted there, accentuated, which means to make more important, to add emphasis on.
Right. This is a useful word, accentuate. We often use it when we talk about our wardrobe. We say, well, you want to accentuate your best features with what you wear. But you could also do it in a paper, on a website. You know, you might highlight something to accentuate it.
Or your attitude. You should accentuate the positive.
Ooh, good one.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were there recently, Naomi. I think within the last year or so, you visited back to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, how much of the country actually has – surrounded by – levees and dikes and dams. How much of it?
I think almost all of it.
Really?
It's a lot, yeah. But mind you, most of the places that I visited are closer to the coast. So I'm not sure. A little further inland, it might be a bit better, but it is all very low. Mm-hmm. There's no mountains in the Netherlands.
Okay. All right. I'm just thinking that must be extremely costly for the country to maintain that whole system.
But it's a very old system. It's been in place for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think they know what they're doing. They're experts at it now.
They've had a lot of experience.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and actually, the thing we talk about here is this era of climate change, because when we're seeing places that are going to be threatened if there's just a simple raise of 6 inches or 1 foot in sea level around the world, that could create major problems for the Netherlands.
Absolutely, because again, it is all so low-lying, and so they need to be prepared for this. And a king who knows something about water management might come in handy.
Sounds a little boring, but I think he might put it to good use.
Okay, well, one of the things about this article that I enjoyed was the picture right at the top of page 36 of the money. And this is something you might not think about if you're not part of a monarchy, but when the monarch changes, the money changes. And so we can see that there's a new edition of Dutch money there with the queen and the king facing each other.
Very, very interesting. Kind of their silhouettes,
yeah.
Almost.
Very unique. It's a very unique country. And if you're curious to learn more, I hope you'll come back next week, because we have a special feature on the Netherlands and we're excited to share that with you. But until then, we're glad you've joined us for Newsworthy Clips, and we'll see you again soon. This is Naomi,
Bill,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good.